Okay, so thank you, Dave, for your introduction. As you probably know, I am actually employed for 2 days, 2 days a week for the church. A lot of that is communications, so we've got a lot of branding stuff going on at the moment in the background, and you'll begin to see that filter through. But also, the other role that I'm carrying right now is as pastoral champion. Now, the champion bit is I'm championing you. We're championing you. So I'm not a champion. I'm not carrying the cup necessarily, but it's in order to help you along the way. Okay. I'm going to put my glasses on now. I'm sorry about this. I actually thought I'd gone big print, big enough, and it's not. Just to say, as part of that, I'm not doing this on my own. I actually really do have some amazing people to work with on this, and more of that later. Okay, so here we go. Oh, there you go. That helps, doesn't it? A bit technical. Thank you. Okay, so I see the pastoral function as being like a facet of God's character, where his heart shines with his purposes for each of us. He is love, he is wisdom, he is holy, he is sovereign, he is judge, he is many, many things. This facet, this attribute of his character, he as shepherd, the one who watchfully cares for us. Now, the interesting thing about looking at that diamond, it would be lovely if we could all have one in our hands, wouldn't it? But if you look, try and look at one facet, you actually can't miss the others. So however much we look at it, we can never only see one attribute of its beauty. There's always at least a glimpse of another. So as a church, we want to give every person the opportunity to connect, to know him, to know ourselves, to know others, to grow. And we know there is always a new adventure with God. And we want to keep growing, keep encountering, keep loving, and to serve. We want to see his kingdom come. And we want to be compelled and empowered to serve each other, our town, Maidenhead, our world. We want to do that together. One of the main things happening at the moment, I get to be part of, we mentioned a little bit earlier, of a very gifted pastor, teacher, prophet think tank. And actually, I'm just going to tell you who those people are, because actually then that will describe everything that we are. Andrew Rackstraw, a father of the church, someone we, all of us have been influenced by, whether we know it or not, this man is a man of prayer, a man who loves the word, a man who loves people and will get alongside people. Jan Vickers, what can we say about you, Jan? You are just beautiful. Beautiful, faithful woman who always has encouragement for everyone here. You are an inspiration, Jan. Thank you. Mike Holt. Now, Mike is quite new to the church, so some of you may not know him, but we're going to get to know a bit more about Mike next week, aren't we, Mike? Yeah. But we are so blessed. He is such a gift to our church, and you'll see why next week. Steve Briggs, who spoke a couple of weeks ago, real pastoral heart, spent time as a chaplain, wonderful at getting alongside people, encouraging people, fathering people, and of course myself. We're looking at the now. That means how we help each other to connect, to grow, and to serve today. And we're looking at the future, how we lay foundations for future growth. How do we prepare for the harvest? Being seen in 2016 means that we will need to be prepared for feeding, nurturing, and caring for those who enter our pasture. There'll be some concentrated effort in valuing and investing in our small groups. Small group leaders, if you're here, put your hands up. Anyone? Yeah, you're amazing, wonderful people looking after the flock. We so appreciate you. And we'll be looking at how we care for those in greater need, as Dave mentioned, as well as how we welcome new people into the church and we invite them to continue their journey with us. So this morning, we're going to start looking at Psalm 23. I'm obviously kick-starting with verses 1 to 3 this morning. Mike's going to pick up verse 6. Yes, you're right, the math doesn't sound quite right, but it's okay, there's a good explanation for that. And Jan, our messenger of hope and joy, is going to pick up verses 4 and 5. Now, the reason it's not in order, just so you know, Robin and Jan have a very, very important event, occasion, family occasion next week. Their son is getting married. Okay. So we're looking forward to giving you something to savour, something to apply, something to fill your hearts to overflowing. I've spent time pondering and meditating on this this classic scripture over the last few months, and as I've thought about the shepherd, the pasture, and his desire to care for us and look after us, feed us and teach us, it has struck me again and again how much more he wants us to know him and know his way. We do fill our lives, don't we, with busyness, distractions of today's world, material entertainment, instead of filling our hearts with him. And I can put my hand up there and say, actually, busyness is one of my issues. Isn't it, Richard John Smith? And I'm not sure that many of us could say that we're not distracted by all the stuff that's around that can draw us away from his lush green pastures where we can rest. I can honestly say I really do get very distracted. My mind wanders, and it is often not set on him. And my busy life will often draw me away from someone who is so much better. So throughout this psalm is a song written by a man called David, who started life as an ordinary shepherd boy and was later chosen to become king of Israel, God's chosen people. David sings praise to his God, who he knew is the chief shepherd. There's an acknowledgement and gratitude. There's evidence of a man who has experienced the presence and the love of God. This is the same man that the Lord described as a man after God's own heart. And I believe with all my heart that he desires for us to have an even deeper revelation of his love. he wants to draw us closer and closer still, so that we too can be known as a people after God's own heart. Here's Paul's prayer. Let's pray this together. I've added some pronouns so you can make it personal to yourself. That he would grant me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. So as someone responsible for care for the care of others, I've been asking God for guidance. Who wouldn't? my question to him has been, how do we do this? And his response is continually, look to me, I am the good shepherd. He says, learn from me. So we are. So over the next few weeks, as we look at Psalm 23 together, we'll be on a journey with the good shepherd. He's got some things to say to us about himself, about you, and about us as a flock, because we're sheep, apparently. the flock who looks after each other and who are now preparing to welcome some new friends. So let's pray for open hearts to receive understanding from him, and that as we spend this time together, he will stir up a hunger in each of us to know him more. And to be more intentional in our devotion to him. So let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's have a look at the first three verses. The Lord, he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is Father who provides, who nourishes, who protects, who gives identity. He is Jesus the Son, our companion. He is Holy Spirit who brings comfort and nurtures and teaches us. And in today's society where independence and individualism and selfishness are gods, we can so easily forget that he is our source. He is the one who is able and desires to meet all our needs. And it's well known, of course, that if we don't have or have not had a good parenting, especially where there's been a poor father figure or no father at all, looking to a heavenly father for love, provision, acceptance, protection is just not easy. And although we don't have time to address that in much detail today, this morning, there are many resources available through this church even, like Sozo and Freedom in Christ, to help us on our journey to truth. I have personally had to seek deep inner healing in this area. There is great hope for each of us. Let's just say this. You know who you are when you know who your God is. And we need to learn to be sensational sons and daughters. This is how God portrays himself as the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. Let's read it together. In Jesus' own words, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. You need to know I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice. Then it will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me. Because I freely lay down my life, and so I am free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own free will. I have the right to lay it down. I also have the right to take it up again. I received this authority personally from my Father. Our God is God the Shepherd. The Jehovah Rohi. We have to do that, don't we, if we're speaking Hebrew, which is actually Hebrew in the Old Testament. He is the God who watchfully cares for us. So if God calls himself the Good Shepherd, what are the characteristics of a shepherd? And therefore, what is God like? Anyone? Bring. John. Alert. I like that one. Faithful. Strong, pastoral, ever present, knows his sheep. Yep. The shepherd faithfully provides, feeds, cares, nurtures, leads, and guides, protects, teaches, trains, and coaches. Because we want to be champions, don't we? Yeah, so the good shepherd, he is good news. because he watchfully cares for us. My shepherd. One of the places we hear God's voice is through the Bible. It is essential that we establish a good, strong, biblical foundation so that we get to know him and his character. To get to know that he is truly yours, otherwise he'll always seem like he's someone else's. I am my beloved's and he is mine, it says in the Song of Solomon. And there is much truth to be found in his word. This is the best way we get to know him, his ways, his purposes, and most of all, his love. Now, just to say, I have a few copies here of the Book of John, Passion Translation, as gifts. So if you want to come and get one at the end. This book is a wonderful book in the Bible that introduces Jesus' life and the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you're seeking, or you need to encourage yourself and stir yourself up, then come and get one of these. You need to hear from him afresh. There's a copy here for you today. There is nothing more important than what you think. And to become his follower, to be able to say, I am his, we have to believe. Only believe, he says. The Holy Spirit wants to form Jesus in our hearts. In other words, in our personalities. Every day he brings a new beginning and the potential for growth. I absolutely love some of those songs this morning, Kerry. You are just on it. Really beautiful. Thank you. Speaking very really prophetically. Because Kerry actually hasn't seen you. I don't know what I'm going to be saying, do you? So she's sought the Lord and she's brought those songs forward. And we've been singing about those things. That his mercies are new every morning. I am his, can start afresh every day. So just to say, if you are struggling to believe, then get together with others in the body of Christ. Believe together. Encourage one another. That's called fellowship. Small groups are a great place for this to happen. And today, like every Sunday, you can go and pray with our wonderful prayer place people. Who love to encourage you and pray with you and stand together with you in prayer. So if you are a sheep, here are some questions for you to ponder. I believe they are questions that we all need to ask ourselves regularly, don't we? So I am his sheep. We are his sheep. So turn to your neighbour, look at them in the eye and say, we are his sheep. I'm not hearing any bars here. If I have to do it, you have to do it. Come on. We're in this together, guys. So as his sheep, we have something in common. We all need the same habitat, and that is dwelling in him, in his peace and his joy, his love. We're the flock. And we're all called to care for each other. By this, we know love because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, says in 1 John. So we're called to be together, not apart. Together with God, together with each other. And just to say, isolation is the most effective weapon of the enemy. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his friends. His love is the kind of love that celebrates and covers, protects, nourishes, calls out the gold, challenges, champions, and teaches others. It's not about me. It's about us with him, seeing his kingdom come. I shall not want. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His spirit deeply and gently within us. And there is a famous quote, isn't there? Behind every child who believes in himself is a parent who believed in him first. He believes in you. And he delights in you. And his desire for you is the highest and the best. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The pasture is the place to dwell. And God has given you permission to rest in those pastures. It's the place full of nourishment where you feed on his goodness and the goodness of his word, where things get settled. This is where the teacher, the good shepherd, shows you who you really are and that you really belong to him. We all have different ways of accessing the green pastures. For me, it's the place of prayer. I love to pray. I have a prayer room, and which is basically me setting my territory, claiming my territory, standing my ground in my house. And I love to sit in my prayer room quietly, but I also love to pray outside. I love to pray quietly. I love warfare. We had the machete prayer this morning, didn't we? I love a sword. I like to have a sword. When I'm praying for the nations, I like a sword when I'm praying. And I love to pray for others. That's a delight. That delights my heart. And these moments are moments of dialogue with a very good friend. And we can never do that in excess. For you, Kerry, I know you. So your way to the green pastures would be through the word, through study, and through reading and studying the word. Kerry, I'm guessing yours would be worship, possibly. Richard John Smith. Richard loves to be outside in nature. That's where he meets with God. And, you know, there are lots of different ways to access his green pastures, to enjoy the richness of his presence and of being with him and belonging to him. He leads me beside the still waters. Jesus is the way, the remarkable entrance to the place of peace. He is the Prince of Peace, drawing us to the practice of rest and to the fullness of our inheritance. He calls us to his peace, which in Hebrew is the word shalom, which means wholeness, well-being, prosperity in all things. The still waters are the place where I find his peace, where I pursue his peace, and where I mindfully put on his peace. Peace I live with you, says Jesus. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Sorry. His peace is not the absence of something. It is the presence of someone. He calls us to be still and know that I am God. He restores my soul. He restores, he revives, he refreshes, he transforms. He brings something back to its original condition for its original intent. He restored, he restores, and he continues to restore. So he is restoring past, present, and future. He brings us back to himself. The God who was, who is, and is to come is the God who restores our minds and our emotions, as well as our bodies. He's done it, he does it, and will continue to do it. So let's go back to earthly fathers briefly. I'm one of those in that category of not so great earthly father. And this is not to dishonour him in any way. I got on with my dad fine, as long as I was agreeing with everything he said, doing exactly what he told me, in the way he knew was right, and he was a taskmaster. So I had learned to believe, albeit deep down and very hidden, that my Father God was judgmental and dissatisfied, dictatorial, bullying and controlling. and that I could only ever have access to anything if I paid price for it. Everything was conditional. So being pretty strong character and pretty willful, let's call those leadership qualities. I made a vow to myself that his example was definitely not something to imitate. My soul had learned such lies by how I'd seen fatherhood expressed, and I'd learned to lean on myself rather than anyone else so that it didn't cost me. That had been represented in the earth. What had been represented in the earth had become a stumbling block in my relationship with God. And there is nothing more important than what you think about God. I'm someone who can truly say I have been rescued. I've been rescued from myself, my past, and from a poverty in relationships. Today I live as a person who's been restored to her Heavenly Father. And like most of us, continue to be healed and transformed in those hidden areas where we need wholeness and well-being, where wounds and lies would hide and eat away at us and render us ineffective. He's called me out from the dead. I could so easily have been shut in a tomb of unforgiveness and bitterness, hatred and failure. But Jesus spoke. "Come forth," he said. And I chose to follow him and choose to be continually led by him. I desire to know him more, and I don't want any hindrance in the way of my being a sensational daughter. He says to each of us, "I am your Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I am your shepherd. I am the one who delights in you. I delighted in you as I formed you in your mother's womb. You are my own craftsmanship. I knew what I was doing. I will love you, care for you. I will feed you. I will nurture and protect you if you let me." He leads me in the path of righteousness. If you've made Jesus the centre of your life, you're in good relationship with him and you're on the right path. And that's what it means to be led by him in the path of righteousness. If you're sitting here this morning and you've not said yes to Jesus, you may be feeling him drawing you to himself right now, even now. If you know in your heart of hearts this to be true, then why don't you think about saying yes to him this morning? He wants you to know him. And then truly, you will never walk alone. "For his name's sake, when you know me," he says, "others will want to know me." Did you know that you are the hope of the nations? You are the hope of maidenhood. You are the one who brings hope where there is hopelessness. You are the one who brings light that dispels the darkness. His peace where there is strife and distress. You carry within you the highest and the best wherever you go. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Graham Cook, one of my faves, says it like this: "God's kindness is just too real for me to ignore. This is my truth about God. He has been relentlessly kind to me for many years. I am now completely dependent upon that kindness, and I work to represent that gift to everyone I meet." So let us each be an ambassador of hope for his name's sake. Let us bring honour to his name in Maidenhead and in this earth.